The gaming industry here in the U.S. and across the globe has become a multi-trillion dollar industry. And for millions of people, gaming is more than a pastime. It's a vital connection and community. The size and scope of the gaming world has brought a lot of different issues. Labor, economic, political challenges have rocked the gaming industry in recent years, as well as the cultural influence gamers and gamers have. It's huge. So in light of all that, we've introduced a segment here on Culture Shift called The One Update. We've turned to our own in-house gaming journalist, Nate Bender, for that. Nate is the host of the podcast Let's Play, a daily gaming news podcast, and the creator of Checkpoint Radio, the first syndicated radio show for esports. He's a colleague here at WDET, and he and Tia Graham are now live in studio. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how's it going, Amanda?
Great. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
We got a super fun segment here.
Yes.
Before we get into the stories of the week in the gaming world, we will be talking about, the Idiot's Guide to the Gaming Glossary.
I like that.
Because I don't know all these terms, but I've seen them in print. I've seen them said, and
sure.
I am really excited because we're going to get into some of these big gaming slang.
It's a noob's guide to gaming slang,
yeah!
If you will, right? Yeah, there we go.
All right.
I am a noob.
You've got some experience.
You know, just a little
the
bit.
I'm the non-gamer. Yeah. This will be good for me. All right, so Nate, let's get into the news of the week in the gaming world. What's going on?
Absolutely. We're going to start with Genshin Impact leaving 9 million players open to cyber attacks. So Genshin Impact is a really popular anime-style game. I don't play it. I'm not that big into anime. But apparently you collect different anime characters, and I'm not sure what you do with them. They have different powers. I don't know. But anyway, the important part of this story is that the creators behind Genshin Impact, HoYoVerse, have left a major cybersecurity exploit open in their game. They've even acknowledged the existence of it, but they haven't patched it out. It's connected to the anti-cheat software that Genshin Impact uses, and this really impacts mostly PC players, but it's really, really bad. The most chilling thing about this is that the anti-cheat exploit can be run independently from Genshin Impact. It can, be used to inject ransomware, attack your antivirus software. This is like something that opens your computer up to sort of kernel level commands, and it is a serious issue. So HoYoVerse issuing a statement about this, saying, quote, the HoYoVerse team takes information security very seriously. We're currently working on this case, and we will find a solution as soon as possible to safeguard players' safety and stop potential abuse of the anti-cheat function. We will keep you posted once we have further progress. I would have preferred, personally, if it were me, that they removed the anti-cheat function from the game, sort of shoring up people's computers. But listen, if you happen to be a player of Genshin Impact, I would really encourage PC players to maybe uninstall this, figure out which driver it is to, and make sure that's gone as well. And once HoYoVerse actually decides to fix the problem, come back to Genshin Impact or, play on mobile. It's a game that's also available on your phone.
Oh, wow. So clear your PC of this software.
Yeah, Genshin Impact, I would say for the next little bit, is probably some pretty dangerous software to be running, especially if there's someone who's looking to, do some weird cybersecurity stuff to you. If you've been sticking your neck out in any way, I would not be running Genshin Impact. So here's something else. Netflix is infamous for canceling series before they even really have a chance to take off. Well, we've been talking about some of the video game adaptations that are in the works, and including a Pac-Man movie for some reason. Well, Resident Evil, you would think this would be a hit on its face. It's mm-hmm. zombies. How can you mess up zombies,
it's
right?
It's a franchise that we all know and have known for years.
Exactly. It's been around forever. The first couple of games were really poorly acted, so maybe they could get away with that in the first season. But It debuted right along Stranger Things, and it was second for the first week that it was on Netflix. It debuted at second with 72.7 million hours watched. By the second week, though, it had dropped to the third most watched. Now, the number of hours watched increased a little bit, and that's usually typical. It's usually by the third week, something hot on Netflix really starts to find its stride. Well, by the third week for Resident Evil, it had completely dropped off the top 10. And so this has led to its cancellation only after the first season. It's also had some extremely low critic scores. Rotten Tomato had it at a 55% from critics and only a 27% from audiences.
Right.
Metacritic, it was even worse. 53 critic score based on 16 reviews and a user score of just 1.4.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. I did not. And this kind of explains why.
Exactly.
I've actually never been that big of a Resident Evil fan.
Okay.
And I came to the series way too late and always wanted to go back and found those first couple of games really difficult to play. So I'm one of those where if I'm going to jump into a gaming series, I'm going to jump in from the beginning. I need to jump in from the beginning. So Resident Evil has been a tough one for me to get into.
Maybe we're just culturally full of zombies.
I think we are. Honestly, when you have something like The Walking Dead, like that's sort of the pinnacle of zombie shows and sort
peak.
Of the pinnacle of the genre.
Yeah.
I don't know where you can improve from there. So I would say that we have definitely as a culture hit peak zombie.
And and staying on this really quickly, we're talking about Netflix canceling Resident Evil, but we've seen so many other series that are adaptations of games or movies of adaptation of games that have been critically terrible and or canceled immediately.
Yeah.
We saw that with what was it that recently it was on Netflix. I can't even remember what it was, but it was just absolutely awful and people were very upset.
Yeah, the live action adaptations from Netflix, Cowboy Bebop is a great example.
That was it.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop is a great example of this where they're live action adaptations. They're trying for something, but it's missing the mark. It's falling short of the expectations of the core audience of, either the anime or the game or whatever they're adapting. And I think that Netflix really needs to go back to the drawing board. And there's going to be some really interesting series that come out in the next couple of months. In fact, one comes out tonight, the new Lord of the Rings
Can't
series.
Wait.
And see how those adaptations are received. Now, already Lord of the Rings has had a lot of pushback, and backlash to some of their casting choices, which I think is really, really regrettable. But, there's going to be other series like The Last of Us, The Fallout TV series. These are going to be some of the metrics that Netflix should probably be paying close attention to, especially if they want to do more live action adaptations.
Apparently they're in development right now for a live action version of BioShock directed by the director of The Hunger Games, Francis Lawrence.
Get out.
And I would be very interested to see that. BioShock is a great series.
Halo series. Have you had a chance to watch that?
I haven't. I've also heard some mixed reviews, but it's not, I don't have, what is it, Paramount Plus that it's on?
Yeah,
that's not one that I subscribe to a lot of different streaming services, and that unfortunately is not one of them. But I may go back and check it out eventually.
I was impressed with it. I was.
Yeah.
So if you are a Halo player, you played Halo for years, give it a try. It wasn't a bad watch at all.
Yeah, yeah. It should be said, though, that Netflix has had a couple of gaming adaptations that have done remarkably well. The Castlevania anime that they had put out not that long ago is amazing.
It is.
And it's one of those that is lauded by both critics and fans and, is a great example of some of the great work that Netflix can do when they get it right. Unfortunately, they didn't get it right here. So also taking a look at the most recent lawsuit against Epic Games, which are the makers of Fortnite. Fortnite, for those that aren't aware, is a immensely popular battle royale game. It's, you know, got a lot of animations and dances in it. Well, a lot of times those dances are pulled directly from pop culture, and this has gotten them in hot water in court more than a few times. Chance the Rapper has taken them to court. 2 Milli has taken them to court. Alfonso Ribeiro, aka Carlton took them to court. And so this is just the latest in a long line of lawsuits for Epic Games. But this one was filed back in March of this year by YouTuber and choreographer Kyle Hanagami. And he was responsible for the choreography in Charlie Puth's How Long video. And you can clearly see when you break it down, it is lifted directly from the video. And what the judge said, Judge Wilson said, the Copyright Act's legislative history specifically states that choreographic work, do not include social dance steps and simple routines. Whichever way the court evaluates the plaintiff's steps, 2 seconds, 4 beats of music, or 8 body positions repeated 10 times throughout the registered choreography, the defendant has the better of the argument. So this is really important because it's protecting some of these sort of cultural nods that Fortnite is putting out there. And you know, I think it's really unfortunate for, Kyle Hanagami, who did have this copyrighted, who did end up creating this choreography for a specific commercial work. But I do think that references like this to greater culture in games like Fortnite are something that is welcomed by the gaming community. It just would have been nice if Epic had, you know, reached out to Kyle and maybe paid him a little bit for his work.
Yeah, given that this is a huge company making a ton of money off of this game Fortnite, it would be ethically very nice of them to give creators their just due.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you had said, Fortnite is one of these games that has hit sort of cultural critical mass. Everyone has played it. Everyone knows what Fortnite is. And yeah, there's really no excuse to reach out to some of these folks who, you know, you're literally taking frame by frame, their choreography and putting it into your game just because it's legally okay for you to do so, just because, you know, Judge Wilson says it's okay. I think that, you know, you should probably reach out with a check.
You know,
come
you should
on.
Feel that in your soul. Like, this isn't right.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a company, though. They
I
don't
know, corporate.
Technically
I know.
One. Anyway, so we're going to get the Glossary Gaming.
I know some of these words.
That was how Tia reacted this morning looking at this glossary of gaming slang. I love this. All right, the Noobs Glossary, Guide to Gaming,
yeah.
Guide to Gaming Glossary.
So I'm sure that there have been people out there who have, you know, they're not gamers, but they live with a gamer, right? Either your kid or your spouse, you know, maybe your roommate is a gamer, and you know, you hear bits of conversations, usually one half or one third of a conversation that sounds something like this. Okay, DPS, make sure that you gather and soak the damage and then scatter for the incoming AoE. And it sounds like a completely different language is being spoken and understood by the, you know, folks that you have never even met before. So I thought it would be helpful to discuss some of these terms and demystify some of them for you guys.
So, I love that so much. Yeah. I listen to my nephew all the time, and I'm like, I don't know what world you're in right now. Well, I'm not here with you.
Hit me with some stuff that you've heard that you would like some more information about.
What's kiting?
So kiting is when you have the attention of an enemy, and instead of fighting it, you run away from it. But the key here is, so right, like it's like you're flying a kite, right? But the key here is that you have to keep the enemy looking at you. So sometimes if you're in a game like a multiplayer game where there's something called hate or aggro, and that's bouncing around between different players, if you're the one who's kiting, you have to have a surefire method of bringing that enemy's attention right back onto you.
All right. What else we got here? Nerf. N-E-R-F.
So
like the Nerf. Like
yes, that balls, is right? Exactly exactly right. Think of it like a Nerf bat, right? So if you have a sword and overnight that sword gets turned into a Nerf bat, when you go and you hit something, you're not going to do as much damage, right? Well, a Nerf is usually something that comes along with an update to a game where they will take the game developers will take something that's extraordinarily powerful and bump it down. Usually that is referred to as a nerfing.
I've heard that referred to some of the comic book characters in TV or movies when they say, hey, that character, the Hulk was nerfed.
The Hulk was nerfed. Yeah, it means that their powers were reduced, right? So it can apply to a range of things, not just weapons, but character abilities, job abilities, and even single-player games can receive updates that contain nerfs. Elden Ring is a great example of this. There is a small multiplayer element to that game, but for the most part it is a single player game. But because there's this multiplayer element, they have to maintain this balance, and so with every update there's always some sort of weapon that gets nerfed or ability that gets nerfed. It's a very, very common phrase.
All right, well, this rhymes, so what's Smurfed, or can you be smurfed, or smurf just a thing in gaming?
So smurf is a really interesting one because it's one that has a couple of different terms, right? So if you or a couple of different definitions. So if you smurf an account on a forum, it means that you're creating a second account. It's literally the same thing in a video game. And usually this is for like an online video game that has a ranked mode, right? So ranked mode will track all of your statistics as long as you're playing in ranked mode. And if someone decides that they're going to smurf a new account, it means that they're not playing on their main account. They've started a new one and they're building up the stats on that count, that account to, I don't know to what end. Sometimes, there are actually esports pros that get scouted out of, ranked mode leaderboards. And so if somebody is, paying for a smurfed account, then they're probably trying to break into professional esports. So it's actually... kind of a goofy term for something that can be very serious.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to keep this going. We're going to keep it rolling around. I'm looking at some of these things and I'm like, uh-huh. Like I said, I know some of these things. Troll. I get that.
Troll is the same thing that you would experience on social media.
I'm like, okay. But splash damage. I'm looking at that. What is splash damage?
So splash damage, imagine a puddle and you take a rock and you drop it into the puddle. At that impact point, that's where the most damage is going to be. And the waves that ripple out from it are going to incur less damage. So when there's something like splash damage, you want to get out of the very center of where that impact point is going to be so you receive the least amount of damage.
I'm assuming that's with multiplayer games.
That can be multiplayer games, that can be single player games too. It depends on some of the mechanics involved.
All right,
this one I think more and more people are hearing this because it's being used in other areas of a digital life, NPC.
Yes, so that stands for non-playable character. So this is someone, if you're walking around, you're playing a game, your character walks up to a shop clerk or someone who's sweeping their house up or something, and they have just a set line of dialogue that they say every single time that you walk up to them. That's an NPC. And the reason that it started to leak over into, sort of regular vernacular is as an insult, right? Like, oh, you're so boring, you're like an NPC, right? And that's kind of the vernacular that's worked its way into popular culture. But that one is a very, very common thing for anyone who plays video games.
We're talking to Nate Bender, our own in-house gaming journalist here at WWE. WDET, is the host of Let's Play, a daily gaming news podcast. Here in Culture Shift, myself, Amanda LeClaire, and Tia Graham, going through the Noob's Guide to Gaming Glossary here on Culture Shift. All right, Tia.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. It's so interesting. So many questions. Okay. This one, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, but Scrub. Like I said, I hadn't heard it since TLC, okay?
Well, if you're familiar with it from TLC, it's the same thing here. It is someone who, you know, maybe they talk a big game, but they can't back it up with skills. It's someone who is not very good. It's generally considered an insult. It's right up there with noob, which is someone who's new to the game, except noob kind of carries a bit of a different context because you may just not have had the time to develop your skills at whatever game, you know, you're being insulted at being bad for. You know, with other terms, it's not so simple. You know what I mean? It's not so, you know, noob kind of carries a little bit of innocence with it.
Yeah,
amateur walking into it. You have been called a scrub before, Nate.
I have been called a scrub before. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's bound to happen if you play video games and you're not very good. But usually when someone calls you a scrub, it implies, listen, you've had the chance to get good at this game and you're still not. Maybe hang it up. Maybe move on. And that by, for the record, that does accurately describe my skills at more than a few games. So
when you're in this world, and especially when you're playing online games, multiplayer games, talking to a lot of other people, is it kind of like a locker room talk aspect to it?
There is very much. I mean, and you know, a couple of weeks ago we did talk about harassment through you know, video games and multiplayer games, and you know, that is an element of it, right? Like there's the sort of locker room talk, there's the competitive aspect of it too, and yeah, it does get pretty heated, especially if someone is having a really bad round and they get, here's another great one that I didn't even put on here. They get tilted, right? So think pinball, right? When you would try to tilt the machine and it would go up, tilt, and it would lock everything down. If someone's tilted, it means that they're frustrated. They're playing emotionally. They're making poor decisions in the game. And so, you know, if you have someone who has been tilted for several rounds and they just fire off, it can get incredibly toxic very, very quickly. But, you know, if someone's using a term like scrub, like that's usually pretty, like that's pretty harmless, that's pretty mild, right? So it's that kind of trash talk that I actually kind of encourage, right? Like I actually think is kind of good. It's kind of fun, right? It's a nice additional kind of way to blow off steam with people that, you know, you're being match made with. But, you know, it is one of those things where, yeah, it can get very, very contentious.
Here's one that I think I've been misusing, or at least thinking misusing it differently. So gank.
Yes.
Here in the term, I always thought it meant when you kind of like sneak up and take something.
I did too. Honestly,
that is a valid definition for it. But it really started in, you know, more player versus player focused games where there would be someone who is incredibly low leveled and a high level would just come along and one shot them. They'd be done. And then they take all their stuff. It's the act of taking all that stuff. If you get access to dropped inventory, it's the act of taking that stuff that really kind of coined the term gank, at least initially. But it's kind of been modified over the years. And your definition is still a perfectly valid definition.
Gonna keep it. All right.
Yes.
Nate, we got one more for you, Tia.
Yeah, looking at the list here, let's just do FFA.
FFA. That's an interesting one. So it's not one that I hear said aloud very often, but it stands for free-for-all. So this, you know, and it's pretty self-descriptive. This is when, you know, in a multiplayer game, there either are no teams or the team has said, all right, everyone for themselves, and they've stopped communicating, you know, tactics and things like that. So a free-for-all is just, hey, everyone for themselves, good luck, see you later.
Seems like a lot of fun.
They can be. a great example, Fortnite is a really good example of a game that can either be a team-based game, a group game, or it can also be played single, you know, as a solo. And in those situations, it's very much a free-for-all. You know, watch your own back, and hopefully no one sees your back before you see somebody else.
Well, that is not the end of the Gaming Glossary, Noob's Guide to Gaming Glossary. We will continue this another time on the One Update with Nate Bender live on Culture Shift here on WDET. Nate, before we let you go, what are you playing this week?
So this week I started playing a game called Disco Elysium that my friend Robbie got for me to play on my Steam Deck. And so I highly recommend that little game. As I kind of progress through it, I'll share a little bit more on the air. But a lot of fun. Disco Elysium, highly recommended.
Thank you so much. Nate Bender is the host of the podcast Let's Play, a daily gaming news podcast. He's also an audio engineer here at WDET. And he brings us the One Update every week, news and views from the gaming world. Thank you so much, Nate.
Thank you.
This is 101.9 WDET. We are Detroit's NPR station.